I'm pulling away from the curb because I dropped my son off at school. We all know what that means. It's time for their drive to work. Okay, so recently I did what's called a nuts and bolts column. It's something I write in for my column, Making Magic. I do it once a year. And the idea was it's a column dedicated to people trying to make their own magic sets. Now, for those that don't make their own magic sets, it's a lot of behind, it's like a lot of technical behind the scenes information. And so every year I talk about different aspects. I've been doing it for 17 years, I think. So if you want to make your own magic set, there's this resource I've made. I spent a lot of years sort of walking step by step, and now I'm sort of going back and hitting wider areas I hadn't hit before. So this year's topic, which I thought was, I ended up doing two articles on, was finding your mechanics. This is something that I get a lot of questions from people who are doing their own sets. And so anyway, today I'm going to sort of go over a lot of the stuff I covered in the column and maybe hit some new things. One, I think about the doing it on the podcast is I have a little more time, so sometimes I can hit some things that I don't hit in the article itself. So, okay, so where do you find your mechanics? That's the basic essence. And I think there are a couple basic ways. So we're going to walk through the how you can find mechanics. So number one is the idea that you find the mechanics first. That I'm usually the way you find mechanics is you're just playing a game of magic and something that you want to happen isn't happening. My example for that is when Magic first came out way back in 1993, I bought a whole bunch of cards. I bought a little bit in alpha. Then when beta came out, I bought like two boxes of boosters and two boxes of starters, with the idea that I would, you know, I'd have to find friends and I could sell them cards so that I could have people to play with. But very early on, there was nobody to play with. So what I did was I made two decks: a mono green deck because I had a crawl worm, and a mono blue deck. The reason they were monocolored is I didn't understand at the time that you could have more than one color in a deck. So anyway, I had two monocolored decks, and I remember playing against them, and my green deck got really annoyed at the blue deck when the blue deck would counter things, because there's nothing the green deck could do about them. Like, if green had a card and blue countered it, well, that's it. There was no answer to blue's counter spells. So I designed and made a card for the very first time. One of the first cards, which was a card that I would later print as Scragnoth. But anyway, the important thing is I made the ability, you can't counter me. I can't be countered. I just said, you know, magic is cool in that there's answers to everything. What if there was an answer to counter spells? What if some spells just couldn't be countered? That is where I think a lot of mechanics can come from, is just play a game of magic and figure out, is there something missing that you would like? Is there something that is be a cool thing that you don't see? Another example of this was I used to run the feature matches at the Pro Tours. And so I would watch a lot of people playing. And sometimes one player would get way far ahead of the other player. And it was the matchup was kind of boring because it was kind of clear that one player was going to win. But it was like, you know, a controller. It was some strategy that wasn't very aggro-y, so it was slow. Now, like, okay, player A is going to beat player B, but it's going to take 10 turns. So I would come up with special abilities I would give to the losing player. So in my mind, I could like sort of walk through what they could do just to mentally entertain myself. And one of the abilities I came up with was the ability that there were spells that you could play out of your graveyard. Anyway, that was my inspiration for Flashback. That's where Flashback came from. So sometimes you make mechanics just because you sort of, in the nature of playing magic or watching magic or interacting with magic, you just come up with cool things. And so sometimes you start a magic set because you just have a good idea for a mechanic. Let's say I wanted to make Flashback. I could just start going, okay, I want to make Flashback. What kind of set does Flashback make sense in? So you can start with your mechanic. That is not mostly where we get our mechanics, but another good example of this is we came up with the idea for Suspend, and then also we had come up with Split Second, and we'd also come up with, like, we just had a bunch of different things that felt time-related. I think we had wanted to ever, we wanted to make a keyword for Flash. And I saw a bunch of mechanics. I'm like, oh, these could all go together. We could have a time-related set. So sometimes you have mechanics and they feel like they go together. So that's the first place you can generate mechanics, is just kind of organically making them out of playing Magic and then recognizing when you see opportunities. For an inspiring game designer, one of the things that's great is sometimes when you build a deck, it's a good exercise to say, okay, if I could make any card that would enhance this deck, like I'm making my own, I'm building a deck, okay, I'm going to allow myself to build two cards. What would I build? And the reason that's really interesting is it helps you find gaps of things that don't exist. And Magic is 32 years old. We've made about 29,000 cards. So obviously we've done a lot, but we haven't done everything. It's actually kind of surprising how often I'll find things like, oh, we haven't really done that yet. So that's the first thing, just exploring known space and finding things. But the most common way we find mechanics is by first figuring something out. Like I talk about how you always want to start each design at a new vantage point. And longtime listeners will know, I'm a big believer that the way to be creative is starting from a place you haven't started before. That if you start from the same place you have before, you hit the same neurons in your brain, you go down the same neural pathways, you end up with the same answers. And if you're trying to get different answers and do new things, well, just start from a place you never started before. So a lot of mechanics for us start from, okay, we are doing a gothic horror plane. We are doing Greek mythology. We're doing Egyptian mythology. You know, you're starting like top down, or not even top down, but just figuring out what your set's about. For example, Zendikar, I recognize that we hadn't done a lot with land themes. I really thought there was space to play around with land. You know, Mirrodin was playing around with artifacts. Theros was playing around with enchantments. I mean, you can pick a card type you like, or, you know, just pick something so you have a focal point to start with. And then you get to do some brainstorming. You know, if you're doing top-down, okay, what do I expect players to want to see in gothic horror? And we quickly got to the idea of monsters matter, and the graveyard matters, and death matters, and transformation matters. And, you know, you quickly sort of, as you dig into what your theme is about, you find things. Like, double-faced cards came about because we were trying to figure out how to make werewolves work. And so a lot of times the way you can find your mechanic stems from starting with your theme, you know, starting with, and that could be a top-down theme, it could be a mechanical theme, and then just exploring. Like, one of the things we do in exploratory design all the time is we just map out the space. Okay, I want to care about, I'll use Dragonstorm, just because it's, at my recording is the most recent set. I record ahead of time, so I'm not sure, it'll be the most recent set when you hear this, but, anyway, the idea is, okay, we're going to go to Tarkir, we want to have dragons, we want to have wedges, and there's five factions we care about. Okay, so the factions all have definition. You know, there's a lot of different ways to start crafting your set. But then the mechanics come out of, I need to serve whatever it is. I got giant dragons? Okay, I need a mechanic to put on giant dragons. Well, one of the challenges of dragons is they're expensive. So what can I do? Well, it'd be nice if the dragons had some secondary purpose so that I can put them in my deck, even though I can't cast them a lot of the time. And that's how we got to Omen. You know, a lot of, similarly, we got to Adventure in Throne of Eldraine because we were trying to capture fairy tales. And so whatever it is, you want to sort of figure out, what is it you need? What does your set need? Innistrad, you know, we said, oh, we want to do monsters. Okay, that means typal. Let's do monster typal. And from that, we figured out, oh, well, we can make this ally color cycle where, you know, we figured out that we really wanted the zombies in blue and black because it matched the different type of zombies there were. There's some necromancy, I raised the dead, and there's some scientists that I build the dead, and black and blue made sense. And then it made sense that the vampires could be black and red, and the werewolves were red and green. And then we said, oh, if we do that, humans could be green and white. And then we had white and blue left. Like, oh, that could be ghosts and spirits. And we sort of filled that in. And then we wanted death to matter. The morbid mechanic literally just came out of us going, okay, how do we make death matter? Well, what if things cared about if something died? And, You know, so a lot of mechanics can just be extensions of figuring out what it is you're trying to do. And what I would say when you're doing in your early exploration, just figure out what do you care about. You know, Theros, for example, early on we decided that we liked the feel of the gods was going to be represented by enchantments. That the gods themselves would be enchantments and that their creations would be enchantments. And then, you know, and that's a good example. Like Theros, I realized by studying the source material that it was very aspirational. That the idea that there's heroes and monsters and gods and that each one of them gets more powerful with time and heroes go on journeys and monsters evolve and gods sort of grow and, you know, and that we came up with like, oh, the heroic mechanic came out of us trying to find a way to play up the idea of heroes. And the other thing that sometimes happens, Devotion's a great example, that's where we were trying to figure out how to get the influence of the gods. And we ended up saying, you know what? There's a mechanic that kind of does this, and it didn't quite work exactly. Maybe we could tweak that. You know, we took a mechanic called Chroma that I thought was a really cool idea, but it kind of landed with a thud. And I'm like, well, maybe we didn't do it right. Maybe we can retweak it. So sometimes finding mechanics is bringing back mechanics. It's not even doing brand new mechanics. It's saying, you know what? This is a perfect mechanic for this space. Sometimes it's tweaking old mechanics, saying, oh, there's something that worked, but there's something about it that didn't quite work. Or there's a way to take it for the new theme and shift it a little bit. You know, a lot of fun mechanics come about from, you know, like, for example, in Tarkir Dragonstorm, we wanted Temur to care about both spells and large creatures. And we're like, how do you care about spells and large creatures? And then we got this idea of, oh, well, what if we do a flashback variant, but you were allowed to tap your creature to lessen the cost? And so it was a really neat way, it exactly did that, you know, and that a lot of times you get to new mechanics because you give yourself constraints. Now, that gets to the next area of where you combine mechanics is, as you start building your set, what happens is you start making holes. You start making gaps. Like, as you start building your set, there's things that are missing. And some of those are on the technical side. You need mana smoothing. You know, there's things that we know as people who build all the time that you need. But as a general rule, what I would say is, okay, I've made a mechanic that goes on creatures. Okay, maybe you want a mechanic that goes on spells. Maybe you know, sort of figure out what you're not doing. Figure out where the gaps are. And a lot of mechanics are filling in the gaps. A classic example of that is we were working on Kaladesh, Ritual Kaladesh, and I knew that, like, I literally wrote on the board the things that we needed. We wanted something that dealt with creatures. We wanted something that had a little bit of flexibility. We wanted to care about either +1/+1 counters or care about tokens. And as we sort of walked through it, I literally on the spot came up with Fabricate, just saying, well, okay, we need a mechanic that does A, B, and C, and we sort of pieced it together, and then it ended up working, you know. So also, sometimes your mechanics can come about because you're trying to fill gaps in what your design is. And so there's a lot of neat ideas and a lot of things. Like, the you know, invention is the mother of necessity, is the expression. Which means, a lot of times, as you figure out what you need, you can design things that fill that gap. And, as I said earlier, when you start from a different vantage point, you make things you would never make. And starting from, here's the restrictions, because here's what's left in the set I'm making, here's the gaps, here's what we need, you oftentimes come to really interesting ideas that you might not have naturally come to because you're starting from a different set of parameters and you can make a lot of really cool things. Okay, so far I'm just talking about the idea. How do I get the idea for the mechanic? And like I said, there's a bunch of different ways. But once you get the idea, the probably for every mechanic that we print, R&D makes 50, 60, 70 mechanics that don't see print. A lot of making good mechanics is making bad mechanics. Or is making mechanics, learning something and adapting them. You know, even the mechanics that we do print, you're not seeing the first iteration of that mechanic. You're seeing the 12th, 14th, 18th, 20th. You know, you're seeing us evolving that over time. So the next thing is, once you think you have a mechanic, you need to play test that mechanic. That is really important. We do a lot of what we call theory crafting, which means taking all the knowledge we have of having made magic and, like, sort of thinking through how things will work. But all of that is just thought. All of that is just us making, you know, some logical assumptions. In the end, you will not know if your mechanic is any good until you actually play your mechanic. And so in early vision, in exploratory design and vision design, especially exploratory design, what we like to do is we like to do play tests. So here's how we do it. It's pre-constructed, meaning we bake the decks. Usually, you're going to add in the new mechanic that you're testing. It can be anywhere from about 4 to 8 cards. You want enough of it that you see it, but you want so much of it that it dominates, or you want to have, like, you want it to be a little on the high side so you see it, but not so high that it's you can gauge it. And other than the new mechanics that you're making, those that you have to make them, they don't exist yet, you can sort of fill in. We either make 30-card decks or 40-card decks. I recommend 40-card decks because most people have played limited, and there's a lot of shorthand that you've learned from playing limited because limited is 40-card. You can build 30 cards. You can play just with 30 cards. We often do. It just requires learning some new metrics and stuff, and 40 plays just fine. So the idea is make your new cards and then build a deck that reinforces what you're doing. A lot of the times, I would say go to something like Foundations. That's just a very simple, basic set. Core sets are great. The goal is not to build out your deck with really complicated things, because that muddies the message. The goal is to fill it out with much more straightforward, simple things, so that your focus isn't seeing on the new mechanic. That if you, you know, if you're trying to learn a new mechanic and you're putting really complex things in your deck, you just get a lot of complex interactions, and then it muddies the message a little bit. What you really want to be is, hey, these are nice, simple mechanics, or, you know, nice, simple cards, and so it lets my mechanic shine through. Again, the idea is that you really want to test the mechanic. Sometimes we'll even start the game where we'll draw 6 cards instead of 7 and have a card with our mechanic that we just put in our opening hand. I will say early on when you're playtesting, it's not environmental. Keep drawing till you get 7 cards that mean something. You're just wasting time to mulligan or play bad games. Once you've balanced the environment, you do want to play with mulligan. So later in design, we will. We want to experience how the players are playing. But early on, when you're just trying to see things, none of that matters. You just want to get as many games as possible where you're seeing the things you want to see. And the thing that I would always say is when you play early on, take notes. I would recommend having paper with you and a pen or pencil. And as things happen, everything you observe, write down. And I know it sounds silly, but it is really impactful of you writing down things that matter as they matter, and then being able to go back and look at that. Because after you're done, your memory gets a little bit tainted in a couple of different ways, and that it's very easy to forget first impressions or forget a concern you had. And so I take notes, write everything down. If you're concerned about something, or something is weird, or you don't like a card, or if you really do like a card, that's also super valuable. If you play a card and you're really enjoying the card, it's important to mark that you really liked the card. And what'll happen is, as you play test a couple games, you'll learn a couple things. One, is the mechanic fun? Like, a lot of times you'll play and go, oh, it isn't fun. So in exploratory design, we have 3 buckets. Bucket number 1 is, it's good. I like it. That means in exploratory design, we can move on. You know, exploratory design is just testing on it. But essentially, bucket number 1 is, that's good. You can use it. Bucket number 2 is, that's bad. Get rid of it. And it's really, really important to learn things and put things in bucket 2. Finding out something is bad is great. Don't feel bad if you have a playtest and it goes horribly wrong. Those are actually good playtests. You learn a lot from those playtests. The ones that are actually the worst is, like, it's okay. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. Like, it's just, you're kind of meh on it. That's the worst playtest. Anyway, bucket 3 is, it's not right, but there's maybe some way to make it better. Maybe you can tweak it. And so you want to figure out when you've done something right, when you've done something wrong, or when, okay, it's not quite there, but there's something there that's cool. And so, and there's no, mid-game, if you need to tweak things mid-game, there's no reason to wait. It's not like you have to sort of wait. And, you know, the whole idea here is you want to process things as fast as you can. You're trying to learn. If you start playing a card and right away you realize it's wrong, it's too cheap, or it does the wrong thing, just change it on the fly. We do that all the time. And then what'll happen is you'll figure out whether or not you like the mechanic or not. And more importantly, you want to figure out why. If you like it, why do you like it? What is fun about it? Where is what I call the fun center, right? What about the mechanic makes you excited? And we, the other thing that you'll find is, let's say you're testing a new mechanic and you make six cards. No one's saying if the mechanic is good that all six cards are good. Like, one thing you might recognize is, wow, I like the mechanic, and I like these two cards, but these four cards are not as good as these two cards. Well, why are these two cards better? And what you'll find is, not every mechanic shines in every execution. That there's things the mechanic does where it's better than other places, and you want to figure out what those are. So what you want to do is play, get the information, and then normally you want to tweak. Normally it doesn't take much more than one playtest to get information to tweak things. Sometimes it takes more than one. I mean, once again, I do this all the time, so maybe it'll take you multiple games, I guess. Play as many games as you need to figure it out. And it's also good to play test at some point. Early on, you could just be you and the few people that are making the set. Later on, you want to start playtesting other people just to get some first impressions. You don't need outside people when you're doing the early stuff because you haven't even figured it out yet. But then, playtest once or two or three times. Start to figure some things out and then make changes. Maybe completely get rid of the mechanic if it sucked. If you really liked the mechanic, maybe understand what about it. Maybe try to figure out which cards were the great cards and make some more cards that lean into what you liked about the cards that you enjoyed. If the mechanic is sort of iffy, can you tweak it? Wow. How would you tweak it? Like, what are you learning about, you know? Oh, well, I don't really like when this does that, or this, we did the mechanic in a certain way, but you know what? It's much better if we do this other way. And that a lot of important design work early on comes from understanding how the mechanic shines and how the mechanic is best. Try to think of, I have a good example of this. When we were first working on Landfall, we tried a lot of different mechanics. We eventually get to Landfall. We're like, oh, being recorded on lands is cool. And then what we found was that one of the neat interactions from playing Landfall was sometimes you didn't play a land when you could, right? That normal Magic, you kind of, other than maybe bluffing at the end, where like, I only have one card and it's a land, maybe I hold on to it to make my opponent think it's something. But other than that, pretty much if you have a land, play a land, right? It's mostly advantageous to go up and land. But when we were playing with Zendikar, there's a neat thing that happened, which is, I could play a land. I go, oh, I don't want to play a land. And the things that were real fun is having situational effects where you don't just want it every turn. You want to sort of wait or build up or do something where you can maximize what it is. The other thing, by the way, as you start cementing your mechanics, you will then start building around them. You know, as we started figuring out what made for fun Landfall, it then said, oh, well, there's certain types of cards, you know, your mechanics, as you start giving them space, will start dictating things around them. And I do say you want to get your one or two main mechanics in the set early because you're going to want to make those mechanics shine. And part of making them and doing the work early on is understanding what they need to do, you know, and that a lot of times you're going to have some major themes that are going to warp your set. Well, make sure that your major themes are leaning into what your mechanics are. Like I said, sometimes your mechanics come from your themes. Sometimes your themes come from your mechanics. But there needs to be a really tight mesh between your themes and your mechanics. So, like, you want the audience to feel like, of course, this theme, that mechanic had to go together. They don't even know which came first. Like, if we're doing our job, you don't know the order by which we do things. It's top down, bottom up. You don't necessarily know because we made it seem so organic that, well, it could have been either way. The other thing, by the way, is you make a mechanic. So the other big question is, how much space should mechanic fill? How big is mechanic supposed to be? What is your design space? So the thing I say is, once you know you want mechanic, once you say, okay, we've done some playtesting, I have some confidence in this, one of the passes that I like to do is to just design everything I could possibly imagine. Just design. Just make lots and lots of mechanics. Make common cards, make uncommon cards, make rare cards, make mythic rare cards. Just design, sort of push the boundaries of what you can do. And one of the things I recommend is go to something like Foundations and just go through common and go, okay, what are all the effects? Now, I did a, there's an article I've done twice now called Mechanical Color Pie, where I walk through all the different basic effects. You can use that. Just make a lot of cards with a lot of different effects. And the reason is, one of the ways to really see the limitations of your mechanic is to understand where you can design and where you can't. And so what I explained in the article is, there's a bunch of parameters to look at. Number one, can your mechanic go on all card types? If not, what card types can it go on? Can it go in all colors? If not, what colors can it go in? Can it go in all rarities? If not, what rarities can it go? Understanding, and this is an important part of being a game designer, is a Magic game designer, is understanding what do each of the card types do? What do each of the colors do? What do each of the rarities do? Because what you want to do is, if you understand the basics of sort of what each of those are, as you're making cards, you'll start to see your boundaries. That the reason I like the vast exploration. Now, one of the things is, as you do it more, I've been doing this a long time, I can start to figure out the limitations without having to make all the cards, because I can start making some of the cards and I can extrapolate. But that just comes from years of experience. If you're new or don't have those years of experience, yeah, just make as many cards as you can. And then you can playtest those cards as well. And what you will find is, as you start to design cards, you'll start to see where you get into trouble. And what you will find essentially is, there's only so many cards you can make with any one mechanic. There's a limitation you'll run into. And it's not, once again, it's not just a matter of how many can you make in total, it's how many can you make that can go in the same set. Yeah, maybe there's four different versions of a direct damage spell you can make, but you're not going to put all of them in your set. So the other question is, which ones are shining and where do you want them to be? And the other thing is, as you start finding limitations, that is going to start showing you holes in your set, which then you will fill with other things. Oh, I like my mechanic, but it only goes on creatures and it's combat oriented. Great, you know, build the set and make all the combat stuff you want, but, oh, I'm really missing a spell mechanic. I'm missing a mana sink mechanic. You know, I'm missing things that the mechanic I do have isn't servicing. And that is how you're going to find the other things that go in. The other thing, and I explained this in the article, is once you have a sense of how big your set is, you want to do what we call figure out your ASFAN. And in the article, I'm not going to do it here just because it's very technical. But the idea essentially is what it stands for ASFAN. It means if I open up a booster pack, how many cards would I have of that subset of things? An ASFAN of one means in the average booster pack, I would have one card that did that. You can look and I recommend figuring out, so whenever you're making a mechanic, get a database that you like, figure out mechanics that are similar to your mechanic, and then look at their ASFAN, look at how they get used. That part of designing Magic is making use of the 32 years of Magic already designed. Like I said, we have 29,000 cards. So if you don't know how to build something, odds are we've built it, go look at how we did it, and then you can extrapolate. Now, the closer you are to what we've done, the easier it is to extrapolate. The new you're doing something brand new, the harder it is to extrapolate. But odds are, early in your design career, you're more likely to design things close to what we've done than far away. It's a lot harder designing stuff we've never made before. But early designers, that's not where they tend to go. They tend to extrapolate things and do tweaks on known things. And that, just, you know, make sure you're looking at what we've already done to do that. And it's once you figure out your ASFAN, find the mechanic like you, figure out its ASFAN. Probably the ASFAN wants to be similar. And that, it just starts to tell you about how much space. So really figuring out the space of the mechanic is, how many cards can I make, and how many cards do I want to make, and how filled do I want the set to be. As a general rule, people tend to put in more mechanics than they should. People tend to over-index on their mechanic, newer designers especially. So one of the things to do as you start playing, it's okay to overplay it a little bit so you can see it, but then you got to start pulling it back and figure out where you need to be. The other advice I give to people is, if you're trying to make a change, it's easier sometimes to go far in the other direction. In fact, there was a guy named Warren Wyman who used to be in charge of security at Wizards. And I remember he was talking to R&D at one point. And he talked about how he used to be in the army and he would fire mortars. And the idea when you're firing mortars is you have to figure out the target. So what he said is, if you are short, the next time you fire, make sure you're long. That you'll figure a lot out by being on the opposite side. And that's the same kind of thing. If you think your mechanic is too shy, you don't have enough, make too much. If you have too much, make a little less. And keep trying out in your set where the best way to figure out the sweet spot is to be both too low and too high. That gives you information to help gauge where it wants to be. Anyway, we're at our 30 minutes. So, like I said, that a lot of making mechanics is taking the time and energy to work through them, to understand them, to play test them, and there's a lot of iteration. No mechanic, it's not like we make a mechanic and we're done. Most mechanics that we make, we play test, and it goes through 20 iterations. It goes through lots of iterations, and that what you will find, the more you play it, the more you'll figure out what works and doesn't work, and the better it will be. Especially if you're an early designer, like I do this all the time. So I have a lot of shorthands. I have a lot of things that I've learned because I've been doing it for 30 years, almost 30 years. But if you're new to this, it'll take time. You know, it's fine that, you know, part of making a magic set, you're in no rush. You don't have a deadline you have to meet. You don't have a set that's got to come out at a certain time. And so take the time and energy. Eventually, once you're happy with your mechanics, you do want to start testing them with people that aren't you, and probably people that aren't on your design team, so that you can get outside magic players' opinions on things. Once again, listen to their complaints. Their solutions might not be the right solution, but usually their complaints are hitting on something. If they don't like something, there's something about it that needs to be addressed. How they would address it is not always the correct way to address it, but they're at least correct and there's something about this that doesn't feel right to me. Okay, guys, that is my talk on making mechanics. But I am at work now, so you all know that means. It's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to make magic. I'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.